how many of you know this, that what happens in life is not always what we've planned for? Anybody want to testify? Maybe got some scars to kind of show it. And yet what I want us to understand as we begin this series, it's something that I hope I can convey to you. It's a little different than where I had planned to go. And so if you turn with me in your Bibles, we're going to look at Jeremiah chapter 29. But what we do with this scripture is often in Jeremiah 29, we read just 11 through 13. And we don't read the rest of the story if it were. And so I'm going to ask you to join with me in reading Jeremiah 29, 4 through 7, and then we'll read 10 through 14. So Jeremiah 29, 4 through 7, and 10 through 14. I'm going to invite you to stand with me for the reading of God's Word. I'm reading from the NIV, and I'm going to read 4 through 7, then I'll skip to 10 through 14. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters over to marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. And skipping down to 10 and through 14, we read a more familiar passage. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me when you find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. The word of the Lord this morning. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. You see, we like to read this text. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. We love reading this text. I have this text all over my life. I have it on a little card that I was given at ordination. It was my life verse that was read at our wedding. It's a card that my mom and my sister put all over our house during a very, very hard time in our lives. And I remember seeing it on note cards all over my mirror in my bathroom. I read this text, and it brings the comfort of God upon my life. It reminds me that He has plans for me. But here's where I want to begin for us as we unpack this game plan of sorts, this sort of sermon before the series. We are created as souls that to the very deepest part of our being, what makes us who we are is the soul in which God has given within us. And sometimes our souls are in desperate need of care. We read the text that Jesus says that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself. To sum up the Shema, the law, and the prophets, all of those things hang upon that. And we say that very often. But what does it mean for us to care for the very fabric of our being, the soul for which God has given us? I want to suggest to us that we are not just human doings, that we go and we do and we run to and fro and are scattered. We are created to be like Jesus. We are created for relationship with Him. We are created out of His image. And here's something that just really strikes me from Jeremiah 29, the beginning of verses 4 through 7. They are in exile when God says, I have plans for you. And I don't know who this is for, or where you're at today. I'm not reading your mail. But I have a very clear direction that what we have found some of ourselves in is a place that we didn't design and we didn't plan. And we wonder, oh my goodness, where are you, God? How did we get here? Because my soul is in exile and I can't see you very well. I don't know where you are. And I want to be faithful. I want to be in your will. I want to know the plans you have for me. But I'm in exile. I want to say to us this as we begin. God's plans for exile are the same plans that he has for those of us out of exile. The plan doesn't change, church. You see, I think the place that we get caught up is we want to know the pleasing, perfect will of God. We read Romans 12 and we desperately want to seek what's the right step, what's A, B, C, D. We want to know how it's going to lay out. We want to know the future. We want to know all the details. And if we could know all that, then we'll have a good, happy, filled life, and we'll be okay. And the reality is this, that God's plan for you and for me is one thing. It's one thing only. That you would live your life in the fullness and power of his resurrection in your life. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, if I can get there. Colossians 3, and we're going to read the first four verses. I do have this one in your notes back there, guys. My Bible app is really quick. Okay, here we go. Colossians 3, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Underline that part right there, or take a note right here. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. You see, I think what we have done is we have reduced God to a genie in a bottle. And if we rub the jar, we think he's going to show up and poof, he's going to take all these things and make them right. And he's going to bless us and keep us. Now, please understand, I believe in the blessings of God, but I don't believe he's a magic genie. Here's what I do believe, that the soul for which we have been given is severely malnourished in our culture, because we've convinced ourselves that God's will is about doing right things in the right order, in the right way, and making them all fit the right practices. And we have decided that if we do all these right things and good things, then we must be in God's will. Here's God's will. Pull that back up, that last slide, please. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That's God's plan for every single one of us as we start today. And I want us to write this down, the number one fundamental truth as we start to unpack God's plan, game plan for our life. He is our life. That's it. He is our life. He is our everything. He is all that we could possibly need. But here's the thing that I find. When we find ourselves in exile, and let's set this up, the people of God, the Israelites in this time that Jeremiah is writing to them about the plans that God has for them, they have been put into slavery, they have been punished, they have been moved out of their land, they have lost what they see as the blessings of God, and God says, continue to be faithful even in the place where you didn't plan to go. Continue to serve. Continue to see the prosperity and the good of your city. Continue to make sure that you're doing what you're supposed to do. Raise your sons and daughters in the way of God. Pray. Be the one who does the things after God's own heart, even while you're in the place you didn't plan to be. And when you seek me, even in that foreign place, even in the place you didn't plan to go, even in the place where you thought, there's no way that this is what God has for us, I will be found there by you when you seek me with all of your heart. You see, I think what happens in life is when things get tough and our soul is craving and just longing for the things of God, we find ourselves just lost, wondering, what's missing? What's absent? God, I don't hear you. I don't get the plan. I'm not tracking with you. God, help me to understand what it is that you have for my life. This is the $64 million answer. Ready? This is why you came to church today. Because like Mary, the mother of Jesus, your soul magnifies the Lord in whatever situation and whatever place you find yourself. Think about this. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is a young lady who is betrothed and comes to her parents and says, Mom and Dad, I have some news. I'm with child. And the Holy Spirit's the Father. If that doesn't rearrange your parental furniture, I don't know what does.
And yet,
her answer to the Lord was even in the place that didn't make sense, even in the place of incredible impossibilities, even in the face of something that makes no sense whatsoever in the eyes of the world, even in medicine, how is it possible for the God of the universe to send his spirit upon this precious young lady, and what was within her is God's son, Jesus Christ. I don't understand the metaphysics of it all, but I know that God moved, and she said yes. My soul magnifies the Lord, and I will rejoice in the Spirit of God, my Savior. You see, the people in the book of Jeremiah, the Israelites, they had done so many things to find a way to fit in that culture. They began to worship other gods. They began to practice other forms of worship. They began to put idols in their homes, and they began to take on the Babylonian society alive. And then when they found themselves in that place, they wondered, how could it be that we're here? Because they had turned from God. They had wandered away in their soul. Their soul left first. God then moves them to a place where they can come back to Him, to the place of wilderness, to the place of exile, to the place where they hadn't planned to go. Because it's in those places of desperation, it's in those places of deep need, it's in those places where our soul is in the desert and we're crying out for the thirsty move of God upon our lives, that we find ourselves wrecked to the place where we can get real with Jesus and we can say, God, I need you because my soul is thirsting for you, O God. Redeem my brokenness. Redeem my life. And what God is so good to do is He takes us back into His arms every time we come with penance and in repentance. When we come back to God and we say, God, forgive me for the things I've done. My heart is yours. Take it all. My life in your hands. But what we are in desperate need of as we begin this series is a soul analysis. Not whether we're good church attenders or whether we do the right things at the right time. If we stand up and sit down and lean to the left and lean to the right and fight and do all that stuff. I had to get a football one in there. But we don't know anything about our souls because we're so wrapped up in doing the right things for church or keeping the right practice in the right way. And if we were really honest, some of us gathered in this place are wondering, how much longer am I going to be in this desert? How much longer am I going to be in exile, God? Because I'm desperate for you. And what Jesus, through his word, because he is the word, says to the people in Jeremiah, continue to be faithful, church. Continue to stand in the place of the desert and the wilderness and the places that have you bound and captive. Stand in those places and continue to follow God to the ends of the earth. Even if you may not make it out of captivity, He is still God because He is our life. It's Him. And so when we ask the question, what's God's will for my life? We start with the wrong premise altogether. God, what do you want to do with your life in me? It's all yours. We talked about that at some length last week. It's all His. Continue to pray. Continue to study the Word of God. Continue to seek the heart of God. Continue to be faithful. Even in the places that you didn't plan to go, remain faithful. And when you seek Him with all of your heart, right there in the deepest, darkest place of your soul, He is there. You see, He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. He deposited Himself into hell and took our sins to the place where they belong. And He removed them from us as far as east is from west. And He remembers them no more. But some of us are captive because we rehearse over and over the wilderness, the places where we've struggled, the places where we've been captive, the things that bind us up, the things that hold us, the things that control us. And what we have to remember today is that even in those places of captivity, Jesus Christ is even willing to meet you there and meet me in the places where we're stuck, in the places where we're thirsty, in the places where we want more of God, in the places where we find ourselves broken and bruised, and no one else knows. Nobody has any clue whatsoever the private wilderness that you wander through. But I guarantee you, all of us have been there, or will be there, or we're going through it right now. And what we have to help one another grasp is that times of wilderness are tools of the King. Jesus went out to the desert for 40 days, and He fasted and prayed. And even the tempter came and tried to persuade him to do things differently. And Jesus said, you don't have God's plans in mind. And he refuses the three temptations. I wonder for us today, church, have we really settled on this one thing? That Jesus Christ is my life and not just a part. You see, because that's what caused the Israelite people to find themselves in exile. He was one of many gods that they began to worship. He was just a piece of the puzzle. But if we are going to find God's plan in our lives, if we're going to understand to the depths of our souls that we are created in His image, we are created to bear with great strength and the power and the goodness of God, the things of this world, we can stand in the face of darkness, we can stand in the face of wilderness, we can stand in the faces of things that are beyond our control because the Holy Spirit is at work within our souls. Can we really answer the question today? Is Jesus all of my life? Is He every part of my life? Or is He just a part? Because if He's just a part, that's where He'll remain. Because you have to give Him rule and reign over all of your life. He won't take it. We have to allow Him to have all of us. We control that part. It's called free will. And before we start to unpack all the rest of this series and all the other stuff that we'll do, we have to settle this issue. Deep within our soul, do we find ourselves like the people in Jeremiah who are longing and desperate for God to show up in the middle of their wilderness because He's already there? He never left them. They just had to be able to change their perspective to see Him. Do you remember what Colossians said? The very first verse, Colossians 3:1. Will you bring that back up, please, Kyle? It said, set your heart on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Some of you may be in the quagmire of your life today. And what I need you to do is look up and see your life through His eyes. See the place where you stand in the middle of whatever is going on around you through His perspective. His life in you being lived out in a place that you didn't plan to go. Or a job that you never signed up for. Or wondering, how did we get to this place? Even in the places where you thought God could possibly not be, He is there. What might happen if we would resolve within ourselves this answer? I give you it all, Lord. You are my life. In you I will trust. Take it all. My life is in your hands. My soul, my mind, my heart, my body, my future. Because it's not about my future any longer. It's about a person named Jesus. Horatio Spafford, a great hymn writer of the church, was living in the United States at the time, and his four-year-old son developed a debilitating disease and died suddenly. And it was tragic, and he lost all that he could muster. He began to see that his business began to fail, and everything around him began to crumble. And so he had friends in England who had sent him word and said, bring your family to us and we'll minister to you and you can recover here and you can find help for your soul and just find a place of rest and get back on your feet and we'll be here for you. And so he sent his wife and his daughters, four daughters, on ahead of him. He had to tie some things up here at home and he was then going to leave and go to England to be with them. While in transit on the ship from the United States to England, the ship that his family was on sank, and he received a telegram from his wife, all are lost, I'm the only one left. His four daughters had drowned. And with deep grief, he then boarded a steamship across the ocean to England himself to join his wife. And near the place where he assumed that the ship had gone down, he penned these words, when peace like a river attends my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever the lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Now either Horatio Spafford is a lunatic, because who in their right mind writes the words, it is well with my soul in the deepest, darkest hours of his very existence? Or he had encountered the risen Christ who came in the midst of his darkness and was able to give him the strength he needed to stand in that place and say, it is well with his soul. Because Christ is Horatio's life. I don't know where you are, and I don't know what you're facing, but I felt impressed to change the direction of the day. Because it seems to me that what we need most is the declaration from within our souls that says, my life is in you, Jesus, even though I didn't plan to be where I'm at. Even though I find myself walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I didn't plan to be there, but you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. Even though you didn't plan to be in the work situation that you find yourself, God is promising to be there too. When you seek Him, He will be found by you when you seek Him with all your heart. In the relationship that just seems to not be able to mend, the relationship that is struggling in your life, whatever it may be, Jesus is there. The recesses of your spirit and your soul, where people have abused and called you and said things against you and have caused you to believe every lie and deceit of the enemy, Jesus is there. And He's there carrying your soul. Jesus' words say, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Sometimes the wilderness is really hard to carry. And captivity by some of our own choices is a burden that we just can no longer hold up. But God is here. And He wants you to have that same freedom that we have spoken and shared about so many times today. That you can declare like Horatio Spafford, it is well with your soul. Because this, God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us all from all unrighteousness if we will confess our sins and the things that hold us captive to Him. Soul, take it all. Take it all. My life in your hands. Is Jesus your life? Or is He just part that you come to visit every week, like going to grandma's for dinner? You just see Him on Sundays. Or is He your life? I'm going to ask Kyle to come back to the piano and play it as well. I'm not certain how to ask you to respond today. I know this. The greatest question that people ask is, what am I going to do with my life? And we're going to move that direction in the next several weeks. But it begins right here today with this truth. Is He everything in your life? And only you can settle that question this morning. Or there are things between you and Him that keep Him from having all of you. Because the very fabric of your being is created to be in relationship with Him. The depths of your soul. Even if you find yourself in places that you didn't plan, and life is happening in ways that you didn't see coming, He's there to minister to that need as well. So I invite you to respond in whatever way the Lord moves upon you. And then we'll be dismissed in just a few moments.